Welcome to the How the Why. With John Barrett Ingalls. Exploring and celebrating the creative process and the creative purpose of authors, editors, artists, and publishers that make up and inspire the 1888 family. 1888 serves as a regional catalyst for the preservation, presentation, and promotion of cultural heritage and literary arts. Let's get creative.
Hello, and welcome to the How the Why, brought to you by 1888. My name is John Barrett Ingalls, and today we are connected with Noah McMillan, the artist of the aptly titled Noah McMillan Collection from 1888 and Black Hill Press. Noah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
How does it feel to have a collection named after you?
Oh, it feels good. Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. It was my first foray into book covers, and how nice to have it named after me. What a coincidence.
To our listeners who are unfamiliar with you, I mean, you definitely have a style and kind and your vision, but how would you describe that? Especially putting it into words on a podcast where people don't have a visual representation. It's going to be a challenge for you. And I think you could do it. I'm excited to hear how you do it.
Okay. Well, let's see how I do. So I am a illustrator and sort of graphic artist. I do a variety of work ranging from editorial to branding to posters to occasional packaging, kind of all kinds of things, whatever you can draw on. I sort of try to give it a shot. My work is generally, it's very colorful. It's generally fairly flat. I think I try to rely on having a strong concept and then execute that in a fun, bright, colorful way, definitely influenced by printmaking through history and just my environment around me.
Do you approach your work starting off with sketches? Because some of your work looks like pen and ink and then painted over. And I'm not talking about the covers necessarily, but just some of your other work looks like it was beautifully sketched out and then painted over with a wash.
Yeah, so pretty much everything that I make is a combination of hand-drawn and computer work. So I'm very committed to sketching and sort of thinking and figuring out an image in paper and pencil. And then once I sort of have that in my head, I sort of just come up with the most efficient way that I can try to create the thing that I imagined. And so sometimes that means doing like a very tight, complete ink drawing that I scan and then sort of color digitally or color different pieces of and then sort of compile. Other times it's a little bit more creating a whole series of elements and then collaging them all together in a computer. Mm-hmm. So it's it really ranges sort of depending on the image and depending on what the final product is going to be, how I create them. But yeah, like I said, every one of them is sort of the main idea comes from drawing by hand, and then pretty much always I use a mixture of hand-drawn and digital processes to make these things.
Now let's talk a little bit about the history of you and art. When at what point, I mean, every kid draws, every kid paints, maybe not every, that's a pretty general statement. Most kids, you know, end up with a crayon in their hand, coloring inside something or drawing something. But when did it occur that this may turn into something else, or that this is something that you wanted to end up going to school for?
Well, I definitely always drew. I am lucky enough to come from a creative family. My dad is a photographer, and has worked for various magazines. And my mom has done a variety of things. She worked in museums and also has taught ceramics. And so art was definitely a thing that was around in my household. And I absorbed a lot of that without really thinking about it at a pretty young age. So drawing was always something that I did. I think the earliest time I can remember thinking about this is a thing I'm going to do seriously, I was, I don't know, probably 10 years old. And there was a neighborhood restaurant that had a kids' art contest. And the winner got a mountain bike.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, exactly. And I was like, I'm getting that. And I did this, like, incredibly detailed graphite drawing of a whole bunch of insects all sort of circling around this sort of well-known clock tower in the middle of the neighborhood. So I spent longer. I slaved over this harder than almost anything else I've ever done to this day, probably. And I got second place.
Oh,
I was infuriated. This other kid drew this big, colorful thing that was, there was no idea behind it. It was junk. I hated it. I was infuriated. I got no prize, and I said never again. I'm getting better.
Yeah. So then it was a challenge to never be second place again.
Yeah. At that point.
Where did you go to school to study?
So I got a BFA in communication design from Washington University in St. Louis, with a focus on illustration.
Well, the next question, and this is a question that I feel like, I mean, every artist has this come up in their life of like, all right, cool, I can do this. I like doing this. I want to do this, but can I make money doing this? So when does that come into play in the history of you as an artist, where you're like, oh, I can actually get paid to do the work I do?
Well, I think I sort of had, before college, I sort of had this idea that I wanted to do kind of this sort of work. I wanted to make things, to make images. But I wanted to make things that sort of went out there in the world and did work, did stuff, as opposed to just, you know, creating my own art to hang in galleries. But I think it took me pretty much almost until the end of college to really understand what the industry of illustration and the practice of illustration as a job really looks like, and what it means to, you know, work with clients and try to find clients and what all that means. So I did not immediately start getting work. As soon as I graduated, I got a paid internship as in a design studio that did a variety of sort of corporate kind of, not infographics, but things sort of in that world, explanatory information.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing illustration, no, my own illustration, sort of on nights and weekends. And I was making things and entering, making things to enter shows and making things for, you know, friends, bands, posters, things of that nature, and sort of trying to build up a little bit of a client base, like sending work to art directors and putting things out on the internet where people could find it. And trying to sort of slowly get enough of a side illustration thing that I could make it my full-time gig. And then after after about a year, that job ended, and I got later on a half-time job where I was still doing graphic design, working about 80 hours a month. So at this point, I was getting, up to about half of my income from independent
sure.
illustration projects on the side.
Yeah.
So I did that for another year. So it was sort of like a gradual step up or stepping away from full-time jobs thing until I sort of eventually, after a few years, built up enough of a clientele that now that's all that I'm doing.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's the goal, and it's not always the easiest to obtain of being fully sustained on your art alone. Looking at you now, I'm just like staring at all of your images. Do you feel like you have a preference? I mean, your work is very colorful, but just in observing everything and going through, I notice orange is prevalent. Is that a favorite color of yours? That is a weird question. If you have a favorite color, yeah, orange. I just noticed you use orange a lot, and like a very specific, like a burnt orange. I dig the color, and maybe that's the answer. And
yeah, it is. Orange is indeed my favorite color.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I always try to, like, when I'm working on a new piece, I always am thinking, oh, I'm gonna do something completely new with this color scheme. I'm gonna make it totally unlike everything I've done before. And then I sort of just, I have my habits and I have what I think looks good. And it's amazing how often I finish a piece and I realize a week later when I come back to it, oh man, I made this look so much like everything else I make. You know, your sort of habits just die hard, you know. I like
sure.
orange. What am I gonna do?
But it gives you a look. Like, I mean, now you're, I mean, everything that you do has a look, and it's not just the color. I think it's the style of everything. But yeah, no, that's definitely, it's one of those. It's prevalent. It pops out. Like, I'm looking at all of your images here, and I see that orange and the prevalence of it. Now, in working, how often do you use reference photos? Is that something that you use for everything, or can you free draw images as well?
I use reference photos. I'd say maybe half the time. I am not very good at sort of freehanding, anatomy type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm drawing a person in a very specific pose and I want it to look, you know, at all realistic, I'm going to try to take reference photos. Often just sort of really quick, kind of crappy one using photo booth. But you know, just enough that it gives me sort of like a solid foundation to go off. But yeah, that's, I'd say about half the time. Like, a lot of my stuff is sort of, it's not really trying to be super, super realistic or super,
right.
Based in like natural space or the real world necessarily. So I can sort of get away with not having it pretty often, but if I'm really like trying to nail a specific posture or an action, then I'm going to try to give myself that.
Now, talk about your work with Black Hill Press. So your collection includes the book Renaissance Spook and Skinny Blue and 116 Days with Dad. How did you end up getting connected with Black Hill Press in 1888?
Jenica,
mm-hmm.
contacted me by email, and she had come across my work, somewhere, I'm not exactly sure where, but, she sort of briefly told me about, you know, what Black Hill Press was and what it was all about. And, you know, I looked and I saw that you guys had worked with a lot of artists that I, you know, recognize and respect. And it seemed like, you know, a place that is really focused on putting out good work and trying to get good art to go along with it. And so I was excited. Like I said earlier, I'd never done book covers before. And so it is definitely something that was on my sort of bucket list, things that I want to try my hand at. So I basically jumped at the opportunity.
So you get little samples from Renaissance Spook by Jason L. Piers and Skinny Blue by Nathan Penske and 116 Days with Dad by Cassie Lewis Carrigino. You get like an overview of the book and a little sample, or how much did you get before starting to work on the project?
So I actually didn't get any of the actual text of the stories. What I got were sort of these questionnaires that sort of tried to sort of summarize the plot, summarize sort of the tone and setting, and sort of, you know, who the type of readers that the books might be marketed towards, and sort of the type of atmosphere that the authors were trying to portray through the stories. So that was sort of my reference point. So for each one of them, I came up with, you know, somewhere around a dozen, you know, sketch ideas. Mm. And for each one of them, I was sort of focused on trying to create an atmosphere. Like I didn't want to try and portray like a specific scene or a specific moment in the story. But to sort of create the feeling that, from what I read, the authors were trying to create. And so that's just sort of like a personal feeling that I really like book covers that give you a little bit of like an emotional feeling of what it might be like, but don't try to tell you everything at once. So
right.
that was sort of my goal. And then it was a little bit of a back and forth of, you know, showing the sketches to the authors and Jenica. And we did a little bit of back and forth of revising, and then created the final work.
Now I liked that you chose to put the titles on a slant, and each one of them, like if you look at all three lined up, it's like all lines following from the lower left to the upper right, and they actually match with the lines that you created in the image itself. Was that, I mean, obviously that was all intentional, but did you know that you were going to do that across all three books, that was a, this kind of angular swoop?
Oh, sorry.
No, I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, no, I knew I wanted the three to sort of felt like they held together as a set of sorts.
Sure.
You know, obviously they're totally different authors. They're totally different types of stories, and the imagery is really different, but I knew that they were going to come out of the collection, and so I wanted to try to find ways that I could make them feel related. And so I just sort of felt like doing a similar type treatment throughout would be a way that I could sort of give each one of them, you know, an element of in common. I'd also considered doing more hand-drawn lettering, but I think the decision was made that this would work a little bit better.
Yeah, I like it. I love it. Now, in your work, now that you're working full-time, or this is your job, is making art to generate income, how much time do you have to devote to art for you, just Noah's art?
I am pretty religious about keeping a sketchbook. So I don't make a whole lot of real finished art. That's just for me. I think most of the sort of, you know, me time art, it goes into doing things with my sketchbook.
Mm.
And, that sort of is a variety of, you know, drawing things from life that I see, and doing more sort of abstract, you know, kind of stream of consciousness, almost drawings. And so those things, they're really fun. And, you know, like you're saying, this has sort of become my job. And so it's really nice to have an outlet where, you know, there are no expectations for any particular thing that I'm working on. There's nobody who can, you know, give me feedback on it necessarily. It's just something for me that's fun, and it's done whenever I say it's done. And so, yeah, that's definitely something that I enjoy a lot. And the work definitely, you know, things that I sort of work on in my sketchbook find their way into final work for sure. Be that ideas or just sort of stylistic things that I'm playing around with. I've been doing a lot of these just sort of abstract pattern pieces that are almost like, you know, quilted looking, just drawn with like fat markers. And, you know, I was just having a lot of fun with it. I would sort of knock these things out in 15 or 20 minutes. And I sort of recognized that there was like an energy about it that I really enjoyed and felt like I was missing from, you know, some of my more finished, polished work, which makes sense, of course. But, you know, now I'm trying to sort of find ways of going back and inserting a little bit of that energy.
If you had the opportunity to do anything in the art world, like what are some of the things that you would love to do with your work, like movie posters or album covers? Is there something that you're excited or hoping to do more of?
Yeah, definitely. I think movie posters, I think, would definitely be one. I think that's one of these things that it's unfortunately gotten to be pretty rare to see illustrated movie posters, which I think is such a shame because, you know, so often what you see now are just these very clear, you know, marketing tools where it's just, you know, the stars.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine. I get it. It's a thing that has a purpose, which is to sell tickets, so that's fine. But you used to see such incredible, beautiful, really conceptually interesting movie posters, and that's something that I would love to do, and also would love to just come back as being a part of the industry. So that, you know, that's definitely one. I would love to design some beer packaging, like a beer brand. That's been one that I've sort of done a couple of completely imaginary beer design labels.
Foxtrap label.
Yeah, that does not exist. That is not a real brand.
Man, I want to drink it now.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's definitely something that I'd love to find myself doing. And then I also would really like to find an opportunity to work with an animator and see if there's some way that I could, you know, try to create elements or create a world and, you know, work with somebody else who's really good at bringing movement and life into it. I've done a little bit of like very simple animation, sort of creating GIFs and stuff, which is fun and good, but it's
Landon Donovan, 135th goal. Yeah, it was amazing because it does have, even in the still images, just the changing of light gives it a life.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think there's something kind of cool about the fact that I don't know anything about animation, and so everything I do sort of has this like rough, amateurish quality, which is kind of nice. And so I think that one kind of has that. But I'd love to find an opportunity to work with somebody who like really knows what they're doing and kind of collaborate on something bigger.
You have a lot of your work available on Society 6, which I love the website. I've bought multiple prints off of there. How have you found that as far as growing your, I guess, fan base or just growing your, what's the word I'm looking for? A following or just a knowing of you as an artist?
I would say, you know, I think so. I don't So Society 6 is interesting. When you sell something on it, it'll tell you that you sold something, but they won't tell you who bought it.
Right.
For security reasons, which is really frustrating, actually. But my sense is that people who are buying things from me on there, by and large, are people that know of me otherwise.
Right.
Or, you know, I got sent there from my website or you know, social media or something. But I found that it's great in terms of an easy way of selling my work that I don't have to – it's kind of, you know, it's passive sort of. I don't have to go to the, you know, go get prints made and go to the post office every single time I want to ship them. I was doing that for a long time, and I found that between the time spent and all the – materials I had to buy every time, it was almost like it wasn't even really cost effective to sell prints. So this way, you know, I just upload it and it's available for anyone who wants to buy it, and you know, it's out of my hands, which is kind of great.
Well, it is kind of a cool, I mean, what I like about the site, I'm not trying to make an advertisement for Society 6, but I went on there looking for a specific artist, and then just from looking at that artist, it gave me, it was kind of like Netflix, where it's, oh, you like this. Well, if you like this, then you might like these other prints. And then they'll recommend other artists. And there is kind of a wormhole that you enter into. And I ended up discovering a couple of great artists through that. So I hope the same thing is happening for you and your work.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is... There are a lot of people who do really, really awesome stuff on there. And it's also, like, there's a lot of things that they give you the opportunity to sort of try your hand at designing that usually would be very difficult to do without, you know, the budget to do a big print run. So it's like if I want to design, like, oh, I want to design a shower curtain. Like, that would be kind of fun to do. you know, I generally don't have the resources to just design a shower curtain.
Right.
But through that, I can just do it. I can see if it's cool and I like it. And I can, you know, put up the link for anyone who's interested to buy it. So
buy your shower curtain. I think you should do a shower curtain.
Well, maybe I will.
Yeah. Noah, will you do us a favor with 1888 and Black Hill Press? We started this program at the beginning of this year called Routinology, where we discuss the routines, the creative routines of artists. Will you give us a little about what your routine is when it's work time and you're going to sit down at the, or stand at the canvas or sit down at the desk, what it is that you need and how you prepare yourself to work?
I have a studio, which is about 15-minute bike ride or so from my apartment. So I generally come here. I try to wake up pretty early and do a more or less a 9-to-5 schedule. Mm-hmm. Although that kind of falls out the window anytime I'm on deadline, which is always. So I don't always stick to it, but that's my intention. So I just try to come here. I try to spend the first sort of few hours of the day when, you know, I've had my first cup of coffee and my brain is sort of the freshest. I try to spend that time on sort of the most creative work, which is sketching on new project ideas or really doing the important work on a project, the creative early work. And then later on in the day, I try to spend that time, you know, continuing sort of finishing something or, you know, doing email, the stuff that's a little bit less mentally challenging, but
right.
Still needs to get done.
Do you go every day to your studio?
Yeah, just about. Occasionally I'll work from, you know, a coffee shop or something like that, or I'll work from home. But I'm here, you know, at least 5 days a week probably.
Well, Noah, I wanted to thank you so much for joining us and talking to us. I love your work. I think everybody should go check out noahmcmillan.com or go to Society 6 and check out Noah McMillan's prints and buy some of them, because it's always good to support. for art and hang it up and have everybody go like, ooh, who did that? That's amazing. Where'd you get that? Oh, this is Noah McMillan's work. I got it from Society 6. Anyway. Noah,
nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good role play situation there.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I've bought a lot of prints, and people will come into my place and be like, wow, this is great. Where'd you get them? Who's the artist? And I'll send them to the site. I don't know if they end up getting the work, but it's a great way to promote as well.
Well, thank you very much for the plug there. I appreciate it.
Best of luck with everything, buddy.
Thank you very much.
This has been the How the Why by 1888. I'm John Barrett Ingalls. The show is produced by Kevin Stanek and yours truly, with production assistance by Sarah Becker. The music is Maya Lua by Bossa Zuzu. I wanted to thank everybody for your creativity and your inspiration, and to remind you all to keep making art. Thank you.